is up, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. And this is our last episode of 2020. 2020 has finally come to an end. So this is episode 2.
It just started.
Does it feel like it's? I feel like it's, it's been a long year.
It's been a marathon.
Yeah, for sure. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm on one tonight. I don't know. I came in like, last minute, hot, ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm excited because we're supposed to get some snow. So.
Oh, you're excited for snow?
Yeah. You know,
it was actually like really warm here today. Like the snow that's been on the ground has like melted away, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm ready to podcast and do some gaming.
Yeah, I'm ready to podcast. I'm ready to do some gaming. I'm ready to talk about our favorite products of the year, which is going to be really exciting. But before we get to all of that, of course, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast on, you know, keep on going here. And let's talk about Christmas first because it.
Sure.
Last week we had our eve of the eve for Christmas, and this week we're doing our eve of the New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
This week. So any exciting tech gifts you get for Christmas?
I have to remember now. I don't think so.
Did you give your kids any cool tech?
No.
PS5, you know?
No. I'm not that cool. No. You know, they're still like, they have their Amazon tablets, and that's does pretty good for them. They'll play with the Switch, you know, but
it's so crazy
they're not at the point where they're like have phones and need that stuff yet. So
even though like, you know, for us growing up, like to do anything cool, like you needed a computer, you needed a big computer, and now they can do everything on a tablet or a phone. And it's more powerful than those computers that we had when we were kids. Yeah. So it's like, I didn't get any tech. Or anything like that for Christmas. I took Christmas off, which I like.
Yeah.
So I usually do work. It's like a good day because everybody's busy and like I can do work. But I took it off. I watched some Christmas movies. I watched Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Christmas Vacation. What else? I watch. It's like a newer one. It's called like. It's about like a Christmas party. It has the guy from. What's the show about like a tech startups that's like funny on HBO?
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, the guy from Silicon Valley's in it. Office Christmas Party, that's what it was.
Okay.
I watched that as well. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. It's really funny. Kosher Tech is in the house. Kosher, what's going on? We see how I changed the text there with the
I missed it. Oh.
Yeah,
all right. Good.
Yeah, so Kosher Tech is in the house. Check out his YouTube. He's been doing some really cool stuff, and I've been like watching his TikToks as well. He does some good TikToks. I'm getting into TikTok.
You know, I almost downloaded TikTok today on my phone, and then I was like, nah, I just can't do it.
It's not really what you like. Obviously, I'm doing it to just get out to like a new crowd and you know, stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, it's there's not much you really want to see on there. But let's since we didn't really get any cool tech stuff for Christmas, there's nothing.
No, I know. We kind of nobody got us. I didn't have any tech on. Well, I take that back.
My problem is any tech that I want, I just buy myself.
Yes. Or it's like more expensive than I would expect someone to get me. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I agree.
I mean, I do have some tech on my list, but none of it's cheap.
Yeah.
So I don't expect it for a gift.
Yeah, same here. I think like when I was younger, I did have tech on my like, you know, list, but now it's just, you know, I'll just buy it or whatever. I did buy something for myself, which it's not really tech related, but I bought myself a pillow.
Okay.
You ever heard of Purple?
Yeah.
They make the beds. Yeah, I bought their new pillow 7. Every time I wake up now, like my back hurts, and I don't know if it's because of the pillows that I have. And I've been wanting to like try a new pillow that's not like one you get for like $10 at the store. And so I'm just gonna, it was expensive, but if it helps my back, I'm all for it. So
it hasn't arrived yet.
It has not arrived.
Oh, okay.
It will come in a few days, but I'll keep you updated on what it's like for sure. So
gotcha.
But yeah, let's jump into tech first. So I only got one review done this week, just for the fact that I took the day off and just kind of been, so it's like holiday time. It's kind of hard to work. Yeah. I feel there's like always stuff going on and So but actually before we start on our reviews, we do have our show notes page. So anybody that's in the live stream now and wants to follow along, or if you're listening on, later, you can, see everything that we're going to talk about this week. It's all right here in the show notes. So it gives you an idea of kind of what we have.
I think that's last week's video there in our post.
Hey, it is.
Good. I was going to tell you that, but I didn't want to bring it up. But since you got it pulled up there, I'll mention it.
I'll have to switch that as soon as we're done. But let's move over to our review this week. Corey is in the chat as well. He's talking about TikTok blowing up. Yeah, like you do get a lot of views. Like I've had a couple of our videos have over 500 views, and they're like a video of me just like talking about a product. There is a lot of views on there. But in any case, let's get to our reviews. So we're going to talk about the WD My Passport. It's their portable SSD drive. It's their new version. I have it right here. I'll bring myself up big so you guys can see this. But it's just a super small little portable SSD. I love these things. I talk about them so much on the podcast. It's just like fast portable storage. It makes it super easy for a travel drive. It's a great game drive. It's also a great video editing drive. They're super small. They can't really break unless you like dunk them fully in
crush
water
or something, snap it in half.
Yeah, or something like that, because there's no moving parts. So I could throw this and it would pretty much be fine. USB 3.2 Gen 2, which will give you speeds around of 1,000 megabytes a second, which this performed right up to. This is one of the few ones that gives you hardware encryption. So if you are worried about somebody stealing your drive, or you're worried about, you just like data security is important to you, this gives you 256-bit AES hardware encryption. It comes with WD software as well. It's one of the few drives that actually comes with software. So they have a whole suite of software for their drives. There's backup software that's free. There's security software that's free. There's a drive utility where you can run tests.
So multiple applications. It's not all in one or anything.
It's not all in one. You install this WD Discovery, and then you can install the individual applications, which I kind of like, because like if I don't want the backup, it's not like installed it's not like already installed. So I kind of like that about this drive. Going on to pricing, the 1 terabyte I think is around 140. Let's see. Yeah, $144.99 for the 1 terabyte. I think that price is good. Just for the fact that you are getting hardware encryption and you're getting software, and this does come with a 5-year warranty. A lot of these drives will come with 3. This comes with 5. It's Western Digital. So, your warranty's going to stay there.
Right. Yeah.
So I gave it a 10 out of 10. It's just all of these drives are very similar. So it comes into really add-ons, because your speed's going to be pretty much the same across all the drives. And I really like this drive. I like it. Like, its form factor is nice and small. You can see it's thin. So if you're a guy and you're wearing jeans, you can fit this in your pocket quite easily. And I like another thing about this drive is so many of the drives will come in like a silver and a black, and that's it. This comes in gray, silver, black, red, and blue. So you have a lot of options when it comes to color. So if you want to match it with like your laptop, or if you have color preference, you can go ahead and do that too. So yeah, it's just a,
WD's always kind of done that. Like I know I've had some blue WD drives, and I've seen red ones, and yeah, it's nice, like you said, to have something besides just a black case or something.
Yeah, it's just like I said, it's a nice little drive. Western Digital always does it right. Nothing I can really say bad about this drive, because it just does everything. And it comes with this cable, which is the USB Type C, but then it also comes with an adapter, which I don't know where I put it.
Is it very flexible? Is that one very flexible, or is it pretty stiff?
Yeah. I mean, I can flex it.
Okay. Because I know some of them, like I have a pretty short one, like actually this one right here attached to this older one.
That one doesn't look
like stiff.
Yeah, no, this is.
I mean, like, it moves, but like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ryan has the old version of this drive. He has the original.
My passport.
Yeah. And it's nice that one thing that, so it was weird because SanDisk owns WD and SanDisk has, let me grab it, this drive, which these are essentially almost the same. But SanDisk did not change the design. So both of their drives that have two different speeds look exactly the same, whereas Western Digital changed the design. So you know which one's the new one, which one's the faster one. Because if you have a USB 3.2 Gen 2 port, you want to take advantage of the faster speeds. Yeah. If you, you know, because if you don't know which one you get the one that Ryan has, and that's like maxes out at like 500 megabytes a second. So that's But yeah, no, it's a great drive. I would highly recommend it. Portable, also, like, you know me, I love my portable drive. So that's one that I would highly recommend. And again, it does give you software and backups. Like if you need to back stuff up, you can also like, you can connect it with your social media. And like anytime a picture gets posted, like it downloads, there's like a bunch of stuff you can do with it. So it's pretty cool. So yeah, so check out that review. And that's the only review we did this week. But that brings us to our favorite products of 2020. And I made a whole video on this. If you guys want to check it out, it is on our YouTube page. If you want to check out the actual video, but we're going to go over each product. And the whole idea of this article was, one, all the products had to be products that we reviewed. We can't just say, oh, you know, NVIDIA came out with this graphics card. It's the best graphics card because it has the best scores that we've read online. Like it has to be products that we specifically reviewed. And then on top of that, I didn't want to like put something in the category where I reviewed like one or two, or if it wasn't like really unique or anything like that. Cause I want, like, I reviewed, I think like two or three monitors this year and like, it's just not enough. And they were all different in their own way. I couldn't say like, oh, this is the best monitor of 2020 because it's not.
I keep seeing all these like end of year, you know, reviews and articles. And so many of them, like I'll just skip or won't even read because you can tell that they've done those things that we didn't want to do. They're like, you can tell they didn't review it. They're just like, oh, here's the best gaming, whatever, or here's the five best gaming keyboards. And it's like, well, there's so many that they didn't even look at. With ours, it's like, these are our favorite products of the ones that we looked at, right? You might have a favorite that we just didn't get to look at or something, right? Uh-huh. But this is of the things we looked at in these categories, which I think lends credibility to the whole purpose of this article.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we get to look at a lot of products. We obviously don't get to look at every product, just like, you know, like I reviewed this just now, which I didn't include in the, so I like the SanDisk one a little bit better, but like there's some products that, you know, that I'm reviewing now that it might've actually made this list, but I didn't review them in time. So, you know, and then again, like I said, we take a look at a lot of stuff. It's just our favorites out of what we reviewed this year, kind of the whole idea of the article. So let's jump in and we will start with our CPU. And my favorite CPU this year is the Ryzen 5 5600X. The reason I picked this, I mean, it had to be Ryzen 5000 series. Just Ryzen 5000 series blew Intel away in every facet. They closed the gap on single core performance and gaming, kind of traded blows with Intel, depending on the game, really, which is nice because generally we would always say, and we've said this so many times in the podcast, where if you have, if you were strictly gaming, like all you cared about was getting the most FPS, you always went with an Intel chip because it did perform better in gaming. Now that's not the case. It's like either or between Intel and AMD. So Ryzen 5000 series just crushed it there. The reason I picked the Ryzen 5 5600X, it's a 6-core, 12-thread part, base clock of 3.7 gigahertz, and it boosts up to 4.6 gigahertz. And it's $300. It's very, very affordable. And just the amount of performance you would get going from a 3000 series chip to the 5000 series chip in gaming can be anywhere from like 10 to 30 FPS, depending on the game. And imagine if you're like on first gen Ryzen, right? you would see a dramatic increase in gaming performance. If you're going to upgrade, again, this just slots into an AM4 motherboard, X570, B550 real easily. I think B450 as well. so just a great little processor. And this is the only one that comes with a cooler. It's not the best cooler, but it's like, again, this is kind of like, for me, it's more of like a price focused part. So if you, you know, didn't have the extra $50 for a good CPU cooler, you could wait till you get paid and then, you know, get that cooler down the road. So that is my pick for CPU. For graphics card, I went with the RTX 3070. Obviously, at least for us, because we didn't review any AMD cards, it had to be NVIDIA. And I just think that they did a really good job with the RTX 3000 series or 30 series. Awesome performance out of the box. They added, of course, more RT cores and Tensor cores to each part, giving you better performance in titles that do have RTX. And there's so many more titles now than the launch of the 20 series that do support RTX and support DLSS. And that's the big one, because that will allow you to turn on RTX. And if the game supports DLSS, you really won't lose hardly any performance when you turn both on. So you can really enjoy like the great shadows and reflections and all that kind of stuff. And you won't lose out on performance really at all if you turn DLSS on. And the reason I picked the RTX 3070 is basically price and performance. I think it's the perfect 1440p card. It's like all our titles that we tested well over 60 FPS and all of those at 1440p with everything maxed. You could easily do 4K with most titles too, but you have to turn settings slightly down, but it's that great 1440p card. It's going to give you the same performance that you got from a 2080 Ti that was $1,200 and the card's $499.
Yeah. Like that you just, again, go back to that price difference and performance, equal performance and such a huge drastic price difference that, the 3070 just feels like it's almost a no brainer here. Obviously the 3080 is a faster card, a 3090 is going to be faster, but price to performance, I think it makes sense to be a favorite.
Yeah, just like most of like the 2070, the 1070, the 970, they all hit that sweet spot for price to performance. And I think that's why I picked this card. And again, if you match this card with say that 5600X, it's like, you know, what is that? 4 + 3 = 7 or 5 + 3 = 8. So yeah, $800. You know, that's a really good start. You get a board and some other stuff and you have a system for right around $1,000, you know, give or take. So that is my pick for graphics card. Now for motherboards, I picked an Intel board and an AMD board, just to be fair, because we did review a lot of Z490 and X570 and B550, so just to make it fair. So for my Intel board, I picked the ASUS ROG Maximus 12 Hero. There is a non-Wi-Fi edition, but we reviewed the Wi-Fi one. The reason I picked this is because this is the entry-level board in the ROG Maximus line. But it has a lot of features that you just won't find on other motherboards, or you only find it in the flagship. Like the flagship board from say like Aorus, or you know, other boards might have the same features that are in this board, but this isn't even the highest end board in the ROG Maximus line. It has a 14+2 power phase design. It has five gig Ethernet, Wi-Fi 6. It actually has 3 M.2 slots when you only typically see 2 on most motherboards, most mainstream motherboards. The board design's awesome. They really worked with their VRM cooling on this. The cooling goes all around the socket. It's just a really great board. Has a lot of ASUS specific features. It has their flex key, which is kind of hard to see, but it's right up here. You know, typically you see power reset. With this board, you have flex key, which you can program in the BIOS to do a bunch of different things. You can set it to be a reset button. You can set it to boot directly in the BIOS. You can set it to be, there's a bunch of things you can set it to do. Again, ASUS exclusive type thing. You actually have water flow indicators on this. If you were doing a custom loop, it's built into the board, so you can actually read that stuff through the BIOS. Like, there's a ton of stuff on this board. Maximus boards are just different. And if you're and getting into overclocking, you're an enthusiast, Maximus boards are the way to go on the Intel side. So check that board out. Oh, I didn't mention in this article, we have links to every review and where you can buy these. It's just right here at the bottom of each one. So if you want a more detailed, definitely dive in and learn more about these products. For my AMD board, I actually picked a mini ITX. And I think the reason I picked this is because it was this board was just done so well. And it kind of, it makes complete sense if you're building an AMD system and you were going to go mini ITX. So I picked the Gigabyte B550i Aorus Pro AX. And first off, the big worry when it comes to mini ITX and AMD is like, what is this actually going to support like the 16 core processor or even a 12 core processor?
Yeah, it does.
So you only have a 6+2 phase VRM, but that VRM uses 90 amp power stages. Those are like the best power stages that you can get. Most boards have 60 amp power stages, like that Asus board that I just talked about. Right. This has 90 amp power stages, which will allow for more power and better power. So you don't have to worry about like, oh, I'm going to overclock, you know, my processor on this mini ITX. You don't have to worry about that. That is completely handled. Another thing I like about this is that there's no real reason to get an X570 mini ITX board, because you're not going to take advantage of the extra PCI Express that you get on that. So sure. with B550, you know, you get your top PCI Express slot and your top M.2 on this will be Gen 4. And of course, there's only one PCI Express slot on this board, so there's no reason to go X570. so
did you get two M.2 slots though, right?
Yeah. So what's interesting about this board, for actually the first board that I've seen this, is that you get two M.2s. There's one here that's the Gen 4 one that's under this big heat sink, which I actually really like because a lot of Gen 4 drives run really hot. So you have that right here. And then on the back of the board, there's a Gen 3 slot. So you could technically run this two drives, you know, one's your OS drive, one's your game drive. You don't have to install any other drives. It's, you know.
Yeah.
You also get USB 3.2 Gen 2. You get Wi-Fi 6. Just an awesome board all around. It has some RGB lighting on it. I really, really like this board. If you're going mini ITX and AMD, this is the one that I would suggest for sure. And talking about going mini ITX, we moved down to our case, and I never thought a mini ITX case would be my case
your favorite
for the year.
There are some pretty good cases this year, you know. I think this one is pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, well, Luke says that's the one I've been shopping for. I think he was talking about the
Aorus board.
Yeah, the Aorus board. It's such a good board. If you, like I said, it definitely check it out if you're doing mini ITX. And then like, moving on to our case, like I said, NZXT H1. You know, mini ITX, especially like really small mini ITX, has been coming really becoming really popular this year. We've seen a lot of these kits that you could buy that you'd have to put the case together yourself, and it was really more enthusiasts. But there's like a lot of people that just want to, they don't want to think about all that. And I think what NZXT did with the H1, they took all of the guessing out of it. You know, so basically this case comes with the CPU cooler, which is 140 millimeter AIO. It comes with a power supply pre-installed. It's a 650 watt 80 plus gold power supply, and it comes with a riser cable. These are all things that you would have to buy on top of buying, you know, your case. They've done it all for you. The power supply is pre-installed. The AIO is pre-installed. All you have to do is kind of like attach it to your motherboard. It's just really, really, really well thought out. Now, like with any small case, the cooling is not the best. And you can't add any more cooling to this. That's the only downside to this case. But I just think that it's such an elegant case. It's done well. It's pretty easy to build in, being that it's so small. It's only 13.6 liters, which is like super, super small. It's just done right. And it is expensive. I think this is $249.99, right? Or was it $349?
I don't think it's $349. That would... I also forget on this one. I'm always kind of not necessarily surprised by the price, but I don't think that it's
$349.99.
But oh no, that's right, because you go back to, okay, it comes with the cooler.
Yes,
so
it comes with a cooler, power supply,
power and supply riser as well. Yeah, and yeah. What's the wattage on the power supply, do you remember?
650
and the riser. So by the time you add all those up, you know, you,
yeah, you come to right about that.
Yep.
Yeah, so I, like I said, I think if you want to build the, basically, if you're not some crazy person that's doing, you know, putting a case together yourself and you don't want to do that, this is pretty much the smallest case that you can buy that has everything done for you, right? Like, you know, when you get another case, you're like, okay, what AIOs or what CPU coolers are going to fit? How's my graphics card going to fit? This fits full-size graphics cards up to 2.5 slots. That's most cards out there. And like I said, the installation is pretty easy. So yeah, cool. I like I said, that is my case for the year. We'll move on to M.2. So I didn't review a whole lot of Gen 4s. So going to go with Gen 3 here. And I picked the SK Hynix Gold P31. First, if you can get over the green PCB. I know that, Brian, that's the first thing you said when we talked about this.
I mean, if you're putting it on a board with a heat sink over it, okay. But other than that, no, we don't need green anymore.
Yeah. So SK Hynix, this was the first year that they kind of went into the consumer space. So they released a SATA drive and they released a Gen 3 NVMe drive. I believe both were called Gold P31 too, which is weird. But this is your typical PCI Express 3.0 X4 drive. Read and write of 3,500 megabytes a second and 3,200 megabytes a second. Everything on this drive is made by SK Hynix. The NAND, the cache, the controller, and the firmware, which means they have full control over everything. And the reason that's important is because this only has a 4-channel controller. Most NVMe drives have an 8-channel controller, but this performs pretty much better than most 8-channel controllers, and it's only a 4-channel controller. So that shows you what they've been able to do, you know.
Yeah.
So the cache is really good too. Like you can write, I think, almost 40% of the drive without it, you know, your performance going down on a solid write.
40% of the drive. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. You like the read speeds is solid across the board. There's no deviation. And this goes on sale all of the time, and it's so cheap. Like the 1 terabyte version was, I think, $80 on Black Friday, maybe even lower than that.
I need to set up like a
You should
price alert on this thing.
It's really a good drive. It really, really is. It's again, not well known because this is their first real commercial product, but. I would pick this over pretty much any other Gen 3 drive out there. It was just that good. Catching up in the chat.
There's a lot going on too.
Yeah, I've been missing a lot of stuff in the chat. So LBOE says, howdy guys, can't really stick around. Just got back from work. Got to head out for dinner in a couple of minutes. Just drop by to say hi. Well, thank you for stopping in. And definitely enjoy your dinner.
Some homemade Chinese food, he said. They said.
Oh, homemade Chinese food. I've been doing that. It's called a Marley Spoon. It's a Martha Stewart box. And there's like a lot of Chinese meals in there. And I've been making like my own Chinese. It's been pretty good. Mm. Yeah. I think I sent you one. Like I made like ramen. It was really good. So Corey says, does that processor do better at gaming than the Xbox X Series? That's not really a fair comparison. I honestly wouldn't know either on what
because you always see those like comparisons, the next gen consoles are just as good as PC or whatever, you know, like it's, you can kind of look at it like that, but at the same time you can't, because it does so much more and different things than just that, you know, processor.
That's... I do believe that the Xbox Series X or X Series, mm-hmm. that processor is made by AMD, is it not? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if the processor itself. just the GPU. Sorry, I'm looking up.
I think it's an SoC that's all AMD. Could be wrong. We don't follow that stuff, Corey, all that much.
I don't pay any attention to
that. And then Luke says,
yeah, it's a custom 8-core Zen 2 processor.
Yeah. I would expect that the Zen 3 is better since that's Zen 2, but Luke says, he said, I love those drives, but the speeds don't hold up. Sometimes they don't. It all depends on what you're transferring. If you're transferring like a ton of really small files, it's not going to be like the advertised speeds, but if you're transferring like one large file, it will pretty much hold those speeds. And then if you're writing to the drive, again, it all depends on what your use case is. And in a laptop, especially, you might have other things in the background taking, you know, reading and writing to the drive and doing a bunch of other stuff. So portable storage. I talked about it earlier, but it is this one. This is my go-to portable storage drive. This is a SanDisk Extreme Pro Portable SSD. Don't get it confused with the SanDisk Extreme. I think it's just called the Extreme. And they have a new one that's even newer than this, which is USB 3.2 Gen 2 by 2, 2 times 2. Mm. This is a USB 3.2 Gen 2, but then they have a Gen 2 by 2, which is...
And does it look the same as that one?
It looks exactly the same.
So they have three drives.
They have three drives that look exactly the same. One's fine.
Either make like them a little different color, but the same design, just something to differentiate, right?
Yeah. So one of them is 550 megabytes a second read and write. One's 1,000, which is this one. And then one's 2,000, but there's only a few laptops and a few motherboards that have a Gen 2 times 2 port. The reason I like this drive is because it has like this rubberized coating on the back, which I absolutely love, which means two things. One, it's easy to pick up and hold. And two is that I've had phones and I've had actually drives like this fall out of my pocket. Like they just fall out of your pocket and you lose them forever, right? This coating will make it harder to pull this drive out of your pocket, but it will save you the drive because you're not going to lose it, obviously, which I like. I guess that would make it like hold better in like a laptop bag, maybe too. This is IP55 dust and water resistant, which means you can pretty much splash it with water. You can't fully submerge it. But this is my go-to drive. It's just a nice drive. Prices are a little bit higher on this drive. Also, I think the 1 terabyte is like 180, which is a nice premium, but I think it's worth it just for the fact you do get, like, I believe this does have secure access software, which means that you do get hardware encryption and everything with it too. It's just, it is a more expensive drive, but I do feel that it's worth it. So
cool.
And then cooling, this is you. So tell us a little bit about...
It's all me. Yeah. No, we looked at a lot of all-in-ones this year, but this one was just stood out the most, right? It's the NZXT Kraken Z73. The Z73 is a 360 millimeter all-in-one. So we've got a 360 millimeter radiator, obviously, and then three 120 millimeter fans attached to it. Now, that's like pretty standard, right? There's nothing crazy about the radiator or the fans or the, you know, the tubing, anything like that. But what's really unique about this is the LCD screen on the pump housing itself. In that image we've got there, just a single data point showing, which is the CPU temperature. But using NZXT CAM, which is their software for monitoring and controlling some of their components, you can adjust what is actually shown on that screen. So it doesn't just have to be, you know, the CPU temperature. You can obviously show that and you can change the colors there. I think I had it in like a blue and purple mode, which I think is the default, but you can also have it monitor your video card temperature and all sorts of other items. But you can also put, you know, custom images and animations, logos, all sorts of stuff. It's just unique, customized to your heart's content, really, like to go with the theme. The performance of the cooler itself is fine, right? It performed on par with other 360 millimeter all-in-ones. It's just so unique, right? First, we had all-in-ones that were just bare bones, here's your cooler. Then we got some RGB lighting. Then we got infinity mirrors, which obviously NZXT has and a couple other manufacturers. But now we're getting the LCD screen. And who knows how long their patent on this is going to last, but I can definitely see this like becoming a thing as well. So
Yeah, I hope that the price goes down. This was
it's quite the premium. I think it's $279.
Yeah,
it's not really cheap, cool. But if you, yeah, it's again, you have to kind of pay that premium for I don't want to call it like cutting edge or bleeding edge technology, because LCDs aren't new and all-in-ones aren't new, but putting them together is, and if that's the only company doing it and that's who you've got to go with, they can, you know, ask a little more for it. But the screen looks really nice too. I mean, it's pretty I don't remember the exact resolution, but it's nice and clear. It's not just a crummy LCD. The, you know, animation on it is pretty smooth. I was really happy with it.
I've seen on Reddit, I've seen a lot of really funny animations on them.
Yeah, there's something.
And like, you know, like the Britney, you know, like the Britney Spears and the cat? That meme? You haven't seen that? I'll bring it up.
It's not, that's not Britney Spears.
Yeah, it is.
I know, no. That's like a Real Housewives.
Really?
And then you're talking about the white cat that's like, that's not Britney Spears.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That's what I honestly, this is not, hold on. Okay.
Kosher says that price is high. Yeah, that price is high. I mean, that's like the main downside is that.
I guess it's not Britney Spears. That's not Britney Spears. No. Okay.
Anyway. But that looks like the person that did the video for Leave Britney Spears Alone.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. One. Anyways, somebody put this picture on the NZXT, right? And then. Yes. They put this picture on the new EVGA 3080 that has the LCD screen. That was pretty funny.
It is.
That was actually pretty funny. But yeah, no, I think that the LCD just takes it to the next level. And the LCD, like especially like the temperatures, it's all animated, right? Like it looks pretty cool.
A little dial, you know, will move and the 30, you know, the temperature will adjust. And like for the longest time I had it in my main rig. Actually, after I reviewed it, I moved it over to my main system, and it was the cooler that I used until this AlphaCool build. You know, I had it showing my GPU and CPU temperature, and so I would just like glance over at it, and like I get to take a look at my cool build, and I can see the temperature without, you know, having to pull up a different application in front of me. So, Luke asked thoughts on NZXT versus Corsair. I assume you're talking related to all-in-one coolers. I mean, both are good for the most part, like performance wise of the, I think I took a look at two Corsair units this year and two NZXT over the course of the year, depending on the size of the radiator, right? I mean, we looked at some 240, this 360, and I think two 280s. I think both of them from Corsair were 280s. One of them may have been a 360, but they really perform pretty well. The newest Corsair that I took a look at has some, you know, unique lighting options and the Capellix RGBs built in, so you've got a little more precise lighting.
I think that the NZXT does not offer a cooler with RGB fans, or do they?
I don't think so. Not at least not right now. And that's kind of a bummer on some of these. You almost expect them to come with them, but man, if you added three RGB fans to this NZXT, you know, that it gets up there. Yeah. And
Kosher said, check out the ID cooling Zoom Flow.
We haven't looked at any.
Yeah, I think we posted some of their press releases on that. But yeah, check out this cooler. I think it's definitely the coolest AIO this year. I mean, you really can't beat that LCD screen. And technically you can add your own RGB fans if you really wanted to do that. So. But yeah, check it out. We have obviously linked to the review. Moving on to keyboards. I did a small and a large just because the small one was so good. I felt bad not including it. And if you want a large keyboard, I have a large one. And then if you want a small one, I have a small one for you. So the large, of course, is the IQNX F96. As you can see in the picture, I have two of them. That's how much I love them. We reviewed this close to the beginning of the year. And this is more of like, this isn't necessarily a gaming keyboard, but it's just a really good keyboard. The entire chassis of the keyboard, and I'm still using it, like it's right here. Like it's my daily driver. And I have the other one connected to a test system back there. Like they're my daily keyboards. The entire chassis is aluminum, not just the top plate. The entire chassis is aluminum. So it's a very heavy keyboard. You have Cherry MX switches on this. And you have the cool color designs. Like this one is called Coral Seethe, which is really cool. And I forget what this other one's called, but they have a bunch of cool different color designs, which really set these keyboards apart from others. Because they it's all aluminum, there's like no flex in the keyboard whatsoever. Everything is really comfortable. You have PBT keycaps, which are far better than ABS. All of these you can get in wireless if you want. So you can do Bluetooth, wireless. They send you a dongle, all that. These aren't cheap by any means. I think they start at like 180 and go up to around 250 if you want to go wireless and RG. Like you can fully customize these as far as like your key switches. If you want RGB, if you want wireless, you can do all of that. So, but they're so comfortable. I'm still using both to this day. They're just that good. Totally changed my mind on, because most keyboards, I'm like $100-$150. That's like the max that I'll spend, right? And then these came out, or I got this into review, and it completely changed my mind. I'm like, yeah, I'd easily spend like $300-$400 on a keyboard.
Dang. Well, and I'm like, I think I showed you that Ducky Year of the Rat. I want that so bad.
You should get it. Let's.
I'm looking at it right now. It's $199 more stock. Hopefully, early January 2021. So
yeah.
As soon as I can get it, I'm gonna get it.
Talking about Ducky, so I listed this keyboard. It's not one that you can technically buy because it's the collab with HyperX. It's their 1-2 Mini. I have it right here. It's super small. Now, again, this is a small keyboard, so this is not going to be your full size. And one thing I didn't mention about the IQNX, and another reason I really, really like it, is that I hate full-size keyboards. They're too big. They take up so much room on your desk. They, like most keyboard designs, they separate the number pad from the rest of the keyboard, so you have that big space in the middle, and like it just, there's so much space. I don't like it. With the IQNX, you get basically a full-size keyboard in the same space as a 10 keyless. It's slightly bigger, but not really. It's the perfect size. If you're somebody like me, like when I make graphs for my CPU and GPU reviews specifically, like I need that number pad. It just saves me so much time. So it's good that you have all that. Now moving down to the HyperX Ducky 1-2 Mini, it's 60%. So you lose a lot. I think 60% is as low as you can go without it being completely weird. And not functional. With 60%, the keyboard shrinks, but the keycaps remain the same size. So you're not like adjusting for a weird size keycap, which can be really annoying. You lose your entire function row, you lose your arrow keys, and you lose that full number pad. Now they do make up for it because there's legends. I don't know if you guys can see. Let's bring me up pretty big here. You can see there's legends kind of like on the front of these keys. You do get them back with like the function key. But beyond that, it's definitely different. Even from 10 keyless, it's just a little different. So, but the reason I like this keyboard is that it's so solid. Even though it's like made of plastic, it's like this heavy type of plastic. It feels really good. The key switches that are in here are the HyperX red linear switches. They feel amazing. And the PBT keycaps on here are different from the ones that are on the IQNX. They're sturdier. They feel just heavier and better. Like it's just a better overall typing experience in my opinion. And if I didn't need the number pad, this would probably be my daily driver. It's just that good. It's just overall, just a really good sturdy keyboard. I love that it's small. I love like looking over at my desk and seeing just like this tiny little keyboard. It's just really cool. Now you can't buy the HyperX version because they only made 6,000 units and they sold out in 10 minutes. but you can buy like a Ducky 1-2 Mini. I think they're like $120 on Amazon. Would highly recommend doing it. I think you can also buy them on a bunch of other different websites beyond Amazon. And you can pick, I think, at least between Cherry MX and Gateron switches. So, you know, you have the choice there. So yeah. So that is my keyboard. That brings us on to the mouse. And it's the mouse that I can't reach that far to put in the camera. But it's the glorious PC Gaming Race Model D. Now, I made a whole video on lightweight gaming mice. I fell in love with lightweight gaming mice. I thought they were stupid. I was like, look at this. Like, look at these holes. Like, this is dumb. You know, why would I ever use this? And then we got one into review and it completely changed my mind. Being light, it allows you to move quicker technically. And if you're gaming for a long period of time, you're obviously moving less weight around. So you have less strain on, say, like your wrist and your arm and all of that. It just feels good. It's a really good feeling. But the one thing that I love the most about lightweight gaming mice is the actual cable. So Glorious calls their cable the Ascend cable. It's like this cloth cable that's just super lightweight. One of the things that I hated about so many mice, and a lot of these mice met their end when I slammed them off a wall, because I would just feel that like drag. Like, yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I hate when I have a couple things on my desk here, and if my cord like hits them, like you can feel it through the cord, which is crazy. Now, I think these have obviously fixed that, right? With this super light, flexible cable.
Yeah, you don't feel anything. Like it could be a wireless mouse. Like I don't feel the cable at all. Now Glorious is known for their Model O, which is ambidextrous. The Model D is more for right-hand use. I like it. It's just that good. It just feels that good. It's a super simple mouse, just a couple of buttons. I think these are around like $50, maybe $60. Totally worth it. Definitely
cool.
Yeah, definitely good for that. And then I added one more product in here just because we've been talking about it for the past few weeks. It's this little guy right here, just as an add-on for an accessory. This is the Sabrent NVMe M.2 to PCI Express card. Basically, it's an M.2 slot on a PCI Express card. It allows you to add an extra M.2 to your system. We talk about super fast storage. This guy allows you to do that. It's $17.99 on Amazon. Which makes it a no-brainer to a buy. And this means you can put an M.2 on an older system too. I mean, it's just that good of a little thing. So I wanted to add it in there just because it's just that useful and it's not overpriced. Like some of these are like $45. This is $17.99. And it's super simple. So yeah, that is our best products of 2020. Is there anything else that really stood out to you this year?
I think so. I mean, we covered pretty much just about every component other than memory, maybe. But I don't. Nah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of memory. And I just realized that I reviewed the Dominator. Dominator Platinum would have been my pick for memory, but I reviewed it in 2019.
Yeah.
Yes, and there wasn't anything memory-wise that really stood out that was like, wow, this is like...
No, because like the G-Skill stuff with the Crystal, I forget, the Royal, right? Yeah. That's been out for a while, so it's not like there was that where everybody was like, oh, this, the look of this is great, you know? It's not like we're not at DDR5, so, you know. I'm trying to think of any other product categories. Like you said, the monitors, we didn't review that many this year, and the ones that we did, they're like... Well, one's a super widescreen, and I think you had a like a Dell, more of like a work
productivity type monitor. That was a really cool monitor. Yeah,
I think it's a good list.
Yeah, I think I said so. Guys, check out the list. I also made a video. It's in the article. You guys can check that out. Catching back up on chat. Corey asked what I'm doing for New Year's. I am going over to my buddy's house. Not huge, you know. We're only limited. I don't know if there's actually limits, but like we're limited to so many people. At gatherings and all that kind of stuff. Old man's here. He's usually here every week. So thanks for stopping in. He says Logitech G910 broke and bought a cheap keyboard off Newegg. Yeah. I feel that like, so over the years, as I've gotten older, like you spend things you use every day, you should spend the most money on, right? Like I use the keyboard every day. Like I'm down to spend a lot of money on, just like the pillow that I bought. Like, I sleep on it every night, so I'll spend the money on something that's expensive. Just like people like complain about the prices of chairs, like the Herman Miller is like, you know, what, $1,000 or something, $1,500. But if you're sitting on it every day, you want something that's going to be there. You know what I mean?
Well, not just comfort, but like health and like posture and holding you up, right? Like,
yeah.
That all makes
sense. Just like monitors. So monitors too, people are like, oh, that's so expensive. But I'm like, you're looking at it every day. Yeah. Like, I would spend far more money on a monitor than I would my TV, because I, you know, I'm looking at this far more than I am my TV. So those are the things to keep in mind. But anything that you're using every day, splurge and spend the money on it. Old man said Newegg had the 3080 in stock, but you have to buy the entire pre-built. Old man did buy the pre-built. He was telling me this the other day. He bought
one.
Yeah, he bought the pre-built. He built. Here's the specs of it right here. But yeah, it's a nice little system, for sure. He gets a 3080. So yeah. Luke says Secret Labs. Yeah, Secret Labs.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah.
My friend Sean actually works for Secret Labs.
Really?
But yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there's a bunch of really, like, again, you're gonna pay a premium for this stuff, but a lot of times it's worth it. So, real quick, our contest is still going on. So again, if you did not get something you wanted for Christmas, we're here to help you out. It's our $50 gift card giveaway. Gift card anywhere, just anywhere. I can buy you an online gift card. I will get it for you. 14 days left, so this is going on for a little while, but it's super easy to enter. You just do it right here. We do it through Gleam. There's a ton of different ways to enter, so definitely get in on that. And that brings us to news, and we're kind of in that like lull before CES, even though CES is not CES, but it's, you know, we're just in the week. Then nothing really happens this week, but there is some interesting stories.
Places closed down too for these like week or two.
Yeah, a lot of places have closed down for the end of the year. So first thing is that it looks more or less like we are going to get a 3080 Ti 20 gigabyte graphics card, and then a really weird 3060 12 gig graphics card. This all came about because if you went to Asus's support page and you looked under their ROG Strix cards, those two cards came up, as well as a 3060, actually two 3060s. And two 3080 Ti's 20 gigabyte. I always said from the beginning that the difference between the 3080 and the 3090 was too great. There's just too much space for NVIDIA. I think it's like $500 or whatever. You know, they need a card at $1,000, especially to match the RX 6900 XT. So they're going to call it the 3080 Ti. It's going to have 20 gigabytes of VRAM, which seems like a lot.
You were talking about the 3080 Ti still, or were you on to the 3060?
I was not under the 3060, but the 3060 is really interesting too, because 3060 16 gig is odd.
Well, the 3060 12 gigs
3060
Ti has 8 gigs, so yeah, now so the 3060 is gonna have more
12, which is weird. But I think, so here's what I think. I think there's going to be two versions, which here goes NVIDIA with 1,000 cards. And there's going to be a 3060 6 gig, and there's going to be a 3060 12 gig. I don't know why you would have a 12 gig, because I think the power of the card is going to max out before you max out 12 gigs of VRAM.
Absolutely.
That's what I think.
It's like they're not matching components. It's like I'm putting a 3080 with a Pentium 4, right? Like you're like bottlenecking yourself, or just not using resources. That they're just mismatched, it feels like.
Yeah, it's just a weird.
Who's like this?
The 3080 Ti makes sense. The 3060 obviously makes sense in a 6 gig card, because that would be a step down.
Maybe 8, right? But not.
Yeah. But 12 to double it. And then how much is that going to cost? And then you're coming up on 3060 Ti, right?
And then you're like, well, I get this one because it's got or RAM, but it's maybe a slower. It's yeah, again, confusing the customer. Yes.
Sometimes NVIDIA just makes no sense. But talking about available graphics cards, this next story might trigger some people. There were a lot of reasons why you couldn't get RTX 30 series cards. Scalpers, one. Cryptocurrency people, two. Those are the two main reasons. And looks like there is this guy in Las Vegas who has 78 RTX 3080s, all from PNY.
They're all PNY cards. So what's up with that? How, you know, like, did he find a loophole? Did he, you know, like,
make a bot that did it?
Right, a bot to exploit PNY's order process, or
yeah. But this guy, his name is Simon Byrne, lives in Las Vegas, and he's built a crypto mining rig with 78 GeForce 3080 graphics cards in arrays of 13x6, which is just nuts.
And this looks like it's just hanging out in his apartment.
It's not, I can't imagine it is.
It's not in a warehouse, right? A lot of times you'll see these in warehouses or garages that are like,
yeah,
it's like sitting on it. There's carpet and yeah, there's like carpet. Finished walls, and I love the power strip on the wall.
Just hanging there.
So, yeah, that's a lot of cards.
That is a lot of cards. So these cards, this specific card, which from the looks of it is the PNY GeForce RTX 3080 10 gigabyte Accelerate Gaming Revel Epic X. Such a long name. But those cards were $749.99 MSRP. Now, if he got those at the MSRP, it'd be around $60,000 just for the cards. Now, if he paid scalping price, it'd be close to like $93,000, like $1,200 for a card. Like if he was paying those prices, it'd be like $93,000 around there. The cards consume around 300 watts of power. So they would require at least 23.4 kilowatts of power to run. At 8.43 cents per kilowatt, the running the entire rig would cost $1,444 per month. Double that for cooling costs, because this thing has to be so...
it's got to be pumping out, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what you're cooling this with, but just say we'll double it for cooling costs. The RTX 3080 has a hash rate of 83.57. What is that? I don't know what the MH stands for. Is that like... I don't know what that is. But anyways, it will generate... each card will generate around $165 every month, which would give you around $12,840 per month. If you take out electricity and cooling costs, you'd have a profit around $10,674
a month.
A month. And then that would be around $128,000 per year. Which means
that's if that crypto stays at the current price, right? If crypto goes up,
correct.
Not like your electricity is going up with that at the same rate. So
crypto's been doing very well, but I'm gonna guess it's gonna drop after the but yeah, that's a pretty nice little investment. I mean, you'd have those if you paid stock, you'd have those cards paid off in like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And if you pay,
that just seems like such a hassle, like in this instance, because you can tell it's in the middle of an apartment. Now, if the guy like lives alone, doesn't care, right? Like, okay,
maybe this is a cheap office somewhere.
Well, that's the other thing. He could be in an apartment complex for all we know, and he doesn't have to pay for electricity.
There were some loopholes back in the day that I thought about.
yeah.
So the Palms in Vegas has Palms Place is a residential, and it was like super cheap to live there because it was like 2008 when like the housing market sucked, and it was like $1,100 a month. For like a hotel room basically kind of thing, you know, but you had access to everything. People would clean your house and the electricity was included. So I was like, I could just build some like mining rigs and just have them run 24/7 here.
Right.
Like, and just live in Vegas. Like, yeah. that was, you know, a thought that came in my head like years and years ago. But yeah, it's like I said, I mean, good for him. I mean, that's like any type of investment, right? It is a hassle. And then when crypto goes down, it's a lot of times becomes a negative investment because it's costing more to run these cards mm-hmm. than it is to.
And then offloading them is sometimes, I don't know how tough it is to offload those used cards, right? But people are always vulnerable or I guess, you know, weary of cards that have been used 24/7 for mining.
Yeah. You don't put that in the eBay.
No. But when you're trying to sell 50 of them, right? Like,
yeah.
Or one at a time is going to take you a while as well.
Yeah. But yeah, it makes you mad sometimes. But at the same time, I mean, there was some way that this person was able to acquire 78 of these cards. So,
yep.
But moving on to upcoming laptops. This is really exciting for me because I think this is going to be the combo going forward, is that Asus ROG Strix gaming laptops were leaked just today that feature a Ryzen 9 5900H and an RTX 3080. I think that is going to be the combo for the high end laptop, and that's super exciting. You have 5000 series processor from AMD, and then you have an RTX 3080. I don't think it said if the RTX 3080 is like a desktop equivalent. Typically it's cut down.
A lot of times they're not, yeah.
Yeah.
It says mobile GPU, so I'm guessing they're probably a cut down version.
Yeah. Another thing that's exciting about these is that you can pick hertz. Yeah, you can pick a 1080p display with 300 hertz refresh rate, which is like for serious like esports type people. You can also have a 2K panel with 165 hertz refresh rate, which I think is the sweet spot, or a 4K panel with 60 hertz. Obviously, nothing on pricing. 32 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte SSD, which is going to be NVMe. That's a small picture, but I mean, this combo is really exciting if you're a mobile gamer or you're like somebody, instead of getting a desktop, you buy a laptop, because I think it's going to be incredibly powerful. That's just really exciting to me. I don't know.
I think it looks nice. I mean, I've had an Asus gaming laptop before. It was huge. It still is huge. I mean, I still have it, but again, I kind of go back to that gaming versus lightweight portable laptop, right? I've got a Dell gaming laptop now that I just use for normal use. Every now and then I'll play a game on it, but
yeah, I think.
But then I see these things and I'm like, man, it's pretty sweet. And some of them look a little cheesy. This one's almost to that point, but it's probably nice.
Those are just renders too.
Yeah, I like I think it was the Zephyrus, right? Isn't that one of their newer?
Yeah, that's
the it has like that one. LCD on the back.
Yeah.
I kind of like the look of that as well, but I just don't have the use case for it right now, I don't think.
Yeah, me neither. That's the sad thing. It's just so nice to have one.
And I would use it traveling, right? Which I didn't travel that much anyways, but now, like, even less. So
yeah. One more announcement. This week, Gigabyte put out a really interesting case.
I saw this today and I thought it looked amazing. Taurus
C700. It kind of brings you back to like the older, minus the tempered glass, but like an older
Alienware is what it reminded me of, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it looks really cool. Again, these are renders, but I do think it looks pretty cool.
I have a Gigabyte Aurora case still. Like, I mean, that thing's like 15 years old, but it was all aluminum. But yeah, I don't, that's beside the point. But yeah, it's got that like tilted design there, which, you know, I don't think is anything functional. Is just more.
The only thing functional might be this intake. If this is an intake right here, that would tech, because that's what it. I mean, it doesn't actually show.
It doesn't show it there. It looks like it comes in from the front panel, but. Yeah, it's kind of cool looking. It looks like it's pretty big.
Yeah, it looks big.
Especially if those are 120s at the back. Like,
oh, there's two of them. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you remember when we used to get that with cases?
Yeah.
I kind of wish we still got that.
We
moved the power supplies around, you know, and I think that kind of changed some of that.
I don't know if they listed the price. No pricing yet. It looks cool. I'd like to see it in person. Like, this is one of the things that, like, I wish CES was going on, because I would love to see this case in person to see what it really looks like with, like, a system inside and all that. So
we'll see it soon.
One other story, which this is a game that I've heard about it. I know nothing about it, but apparently it's very popular. Among Us.
And I played it a couple times. I can't get into it. I don't know what it is. I know it's super popular. Obviously, 500 million active players.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
500 million active players on Among Us. Is this a free game?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty cheap, though. $10 maybe.
It just reminds me of, like, Minecraft.
Or maybe it was free. I'm trying to remember. Because this was kind of popular along, like, remember Fall Guys? That, like, came out, and then this was, like, right afterwards. This one's been out for quite a while and just, like, became popular due to some...
Yeah, because I saw a lot of, like, people, like, kids dressing up as this for Halloween.
Yep.
Whatever. That's, like, the character. But, yeah, good for them. I mean, I've never played it, so I don't know what it's about. But 500 million active users, that's pretty awesome. So.
Yep.
So that is our news for the week. Coming up next week, we did our favorite products of 2020. We're going to be doing our favorite case mods. And I have a couple different categories because, again, it's not fair to, like, compare to, like, an actual case mod in a case to, like, a scratch build. So we'll have a couple stuff. So that would be this Friday, which is in 2 days. So definitely stay tuned for that. I don't know if you noticed, but I have a different headset on tonight.
I saw that.
Yeah, but it is the Razer is checking my browser. There it goes. Before accessing, this is the Razer Black Shark V2. I've been using this for the past week, and I have to say, the THX spatial audio on this, especially in Apex Legends, is awesome.
Yeah, like, you were saying you could hear people across the map, or like
it's so good. And then they have THX. Like their THX game mode, and then they had this THX competitive mode, which I was messing around with. Like, you can hear people so far away, but like it's so weird. Like, I'd have to play with it for a month to get used to it. But just the normal THX game mode is, I can hear people so clearly, it's insane. Like, it is so good. But yeah, I'll have that review for you guys. And it's only $100, $100 headset too. Pretty very comfortable. As you can see, it's it's a mid-size, I would say. It's not super lightweight. It's not super, like, yours headset is more of a bigger headset. Even like the Razer Krakens are really big. This is like mid-range. I kind of like it. So stay tuned for that. Also have new Corsair Dominator. We talked about it last week. Their Dominator Platinum White, which looks... These look amazing. I know you're a hater on the gold, but the gold right there, that just like makes them. So.
Well, again, I think it's the gold with the RGB. That's if it was different colored lighting shown right there, I'd be fine. Or silver, but.
Yeah. Whatever. But no, these are really good. And then finally, you'll be taking a look at the new HyperX Quadcast S.
Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a revision of the Quadcast. Adds two RGB LEDs to it, a little different connectivity for it on the back, and that's about it. It's just
I think they did such a good job with the original.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, really, it's essentially the same microphone with a little different lighting and USB Type-C.
Nice.
So
just a nice little upgrade.
Yeah, and I think it's... And I should say also on the shock mount that's built into the stand, you can see there it's gray elastic, whereas the original was red. So the gray just kind of fits, I think, with more.
Yeah. Yeah. Aesthetic. Cool. So stay tuned for all of that coming next couple of days and then next week. And then it'll be New Year's, man. This year has just gone by. Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Not yet. And I always like forget them anyways. So like I don't even know if I set one last year. If I did, I forgot.
Old Man said that Metro Last Light Redux is free on GOG. Torchlight 2 is free on Epic Games. So if you want some games to play over the holiday, I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to be off work or what?
Torchlight 2 is fun.
I've never played it. I'll pick it up.
It's like Diablo type.
Oh, nice.
Type game.
But yeah, and then I also saw that Battlefield 3 was free on like Amazon Prime or something. Somebody posted on Twitter earlier today. But yeah, lots of free games going on, of course. My New Year's resolution is to get back in shape. That's my whole New Year's resolution, because I feel like if I do that, I'll be able to do everything else.
Okay.
Like get more work done because I don't feel as tired. I wake up better because the gyms have been closed here for like over a month. So they open back up January 4th. So I'm excited, like go back to the gym. Like it's so hard to work out at home. Like it really is. I think
that'd probably be a good one for me too.
What do you mean? You're like this guy eats like we're like gaming. He's eating like cookies and candy and like we're at CES and he had all his snacks. Like we go to CES and I have like Kind bars and like healthy stuff. This guy has all this candy. He just has stacks.
No,
of candy.
I don't eat candy.
He had stacks of like, I was like, this guy is still in high school. He just has all this, and he's like skinnier than me and he's older than me. I don't know how he does it. So
I don't know.
So yeah, but yeah, that is going to pretty much end things out. We definitely appreciate everybody, of course, who has been hanging out with us. Love talking tech with you guys, all of our regulars, and of course, everybody new. We appreciate you throughout the year. We're going to, of course, make this podcast keep on going, and obviously, you know, we want to make things better. We're all obviously trying new things. We incorporated Facebook and Twitter this year to live stream to those all at the same time. Anything
did
else
we switch over to StreamYard, or were we doing it before the beginning of the year?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
Derek is exactly right. Derek, another one of our regulars, he goes, Bob's eating carrot sticks and Ryan's is snarfing out. He just had this big thing of snacks. And I'm like, yeah, I'm eating like, you know. So that's that's another thing. So like CES was like kind of like a vacation. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to eat healthy. And then like 2 days in, I'm like, no.
There's too much good food in that town.
Yeah.
To eat healthy.
So, yeah. So, all right, guys, we are going to jump over to Twitch. We'll be playing some Apex. I'll be testing this headset out. I'm really excited to hear people across the map and then watch Ryan die. So, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go ahead and check that out. And, yeah, we'll see everybody in 2021.